broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 25th in the year of our Lord, 2018. And this is our 2 at 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Our good buddy, attorney, constitutional attorney, I might add, Jim Clymer is with us as well. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
It is my pleasure once again. Thank you.
I'm on the Constitution Party webpage, constitutionparty.com, and it says Constitution Party, the party of integrity, liberty, and prosperity. You got to like that phrase. Who wouldn't want that, Jim?
Well, that's the American spirit, right? Those are things those are the virtues that we strive for, indeed.
And they call them the three pillars of the Constitution Party, right?
Yep, that's right. Yep. Obviously, there's more to that. I mean, there's flesh to be put on the bones, or there's a structure above the pillars. But those are the pillars that it rests on. And we, as the name implies, we're very much supportive of adhering to the Constitution as it was originally intended, not as some court has decided it should be molded and changed to fit the political correctness of the day, but rather to maintain its integrity, maintain the integrity of the Constitution by sticking with what the founders intended and what it says, the literal reading of the Constitution. So that's what we strive for as well, and that's what we promote. And of course, you have people who would like to amend the Constitution without going through the amendment process and amend it by judicial fiat, and we're very much opposed to that. We believe that the Constitution was written properly, and of course, there are times when it's appropriate for it to be amended. But there's a process for it to be amended, not by a court, not by 9 black robes. Actually, in more and more cases, we see individual black robes in the lower courts that think that they have the ability and have the power to amend the Constitution by their own to fit their own worldview or their own political ideology. And as you know, I'm sure, and your listeners know, that is fundamentally wrong. It's contrary to the intent of the Constitution. It's contrary to the foundations that this country was built on and the principles of liberty that we so strongly cherish.
Now, Kurt, I oftentimes in the speeches that I give say the issue is honesty. And I really double down on that because I think that's kind of the core, the key when it comes to honest money, when it comes to the Constitution Party. And so one of the phrases they have on their website that I really resonate with says this: are you tired of dishonesty in politics, of having your rights stripped by elected officials of other parties? Have you concluded that they will never improve the economy in the long run? Our three pillars, integrity, wow, liberty, and prosperity, are the solution. What a phrase from a party, Kurt. I don't know that the other parties talk about that in such, in my opinion, statesman-type language, do they, Kurt?
Well, and the only thing I would hope for is that maybe the Constitution Party might even suggest that eliminating parties would be one of the main things they'd like to promote.
Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because Howard Phillips, who was, what, the USA Party or U.S. Tax Party at first, and then eventually became the Constitution Party, he was all about no parties, but at some point you have to have a seat at the table is the problem, right, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality in which we live. And, of course, you know that the Founding Fathers didn't contemplate parties, and George Washington, in his farewell address, warned against the factions that would be caused by parties and the problems that would result from that. But it's a reality. That's, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together, and that's happens in the political world as well, and I'm afraid that's just what has happened. So we are aligned in parties, and where different viewpoints, different ideologies group together in the party. I don't know that that's evil. I just think it's a representation of human nature. It's what's going to happen. So.
It reminds me of unions a lot, Jim. Unions, when they're forced, I reject completely. Because, you know what, at some point they become they get special privileges from government. If it's a forced union, then you're literally forced to belong to and get, you know, provide support to something that you completely disagree with. However, I'm fine with unions if there's no force. If it's like, hey, they're helping me with my cause, then I can...
Joining together of forces by people? Absolutely. I think that's...
It's one of the fundamental principles called free association, right?
That's right.
And so I'm not a fan of parties either, and I think the party ought to be over, because oftentimes what happens is the parties then become like the forced union. So right now, what you've got is the Republican and the Democratic parties who have literally created rules and guidelines to prevent anybody else from having a seat at the table. That's when it becomes a problem, when it's forced parties or forced unionism. We have a problem with it. But free association, if two people want to get together and say, hey, we want to advocate for this, we see no problem. The difference is the free association versus force, right?
That's right. There's a world of difference. It makes all the difference in the world.
I agree with Kurt's point that at some point, though, the parties end up being kind of a secret combination getting above the people. And pretty soon it's about party and politics and good old boy networks and special privileges. And, but, you know, that's when it runs off the rails.
You know, that is so true. And again, I think that's a tendency of human nature. Back in the early days, what we emphasized, a slogan that we used a lot as a party, was principle over party. And we discouraged the... you know, the excesses of loyalty to party. But I must say that I've seen developing over the years here a little bit of the same thing in the Constitution Party. And I don't say that meanly or in any way, but to be demeaning to anybody, but it's a fact of life that I see people who, for example, say they won't support anybody unless they're in the Constitution Party. Well, frankly, I don't take that line. I still believe in principle over party, and I still believe that there are a few good ones out there who may belong to another party or who may even be independent. But just if they stand for the right things, if they promote the right issues and positions on issues and principles, I'm not going to withhold support from them just because they're not a member of the Constitution Party.
And I think that's primarily what the Republicans would do. At least that's been their line in the past, although now they've proven that they're willing to even take a Democrat over a principled person within their own party.
But, of course, they do that because they want to preserve their power in the Republican Party. And they're afraid of somebody who may be coming in, kicking over the traces, that messes up their power structure. And, of course, Roy Moore was a good example of that, because they would rather have a Democrat in there than somebody like Roy Moore, who is going to call attention to their abuses of power and call attention to their violations of the Constitution and so on. And that's... Yeah, that's right. But it's not because they're doing it out of principle or not out of correct principle. They're doing it out of continuing to aggregate power to themselves.
All right, Tim Alders from the state of Utah, a good friend of ours, is running for Senate on the Constitution Party against none other than Mitt Romney. Now, what's interesting to me is this race has been a little bit silent, hasn't it, Kurt? Have you heard much about it?
Well, you know, they on issues like this where you have a candidate that is on the ballot and everything like that, the best thing that the standard media, you know, basically the controlled media wants to do is either make fun of them or literally just avoid them, avoid talk about them at all so they don't get any traction. That's just their standard modus of operandi, I guess you could say modus or operating procedure.
I think you're right, but I think this is in my opinion, I don't know what you call it. I don't know if I should say battle. This is a runoff that ought to be highlighted, though, because we're talking about a critical spot, what, replacing Orrin Hatch? Wow, it's really critical of who we get to do that. When we come back, let's have Jim Clymer, well-known constitutional attorney, constitutionparty.com, respond. We need to get Tim on the radio with us. Hang tight.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, and Jim Clymer on your radio talking about the Constitution Party, constitutionparty.com, talking about this big battle that the mainstream press doesn't seem to want to talk about, which is Mitt Romney literally vying to take Orrin Hatch's spot, but Tim Alders on the Constitution Party giving him a run for his money, Jim.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Aware of what's going on there, but can't say I know Tim personally.
I know Tim personally quite well, so does Kurt.
Well, that's
great
good
guy.
I know that he's in good company then.
Great guy, very constitutional. What do you want to call it? Knowledgeable in a lot of areas, Kurt. I mean, Tim's a very smart guy.
you would have to say that, you know, he's got the courage to jump in. you know, he seems to be in the middle of a lot of those things, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And I say good on him. We need more guys like that making a difference and getting involved. But as Kurt wisely pointed out, I don't see much being talked about on this.
So what's the status there? Is the primary is passed and Romney won the primary?
Is that how it is, Kurt?
Yeah, that's correct.
So I understand that they changed the law to accommodate Romney because he was not going to get the majority of the votes in the state committee, so they passed a law saying that you could get on the ballot by signatures, even if you're not endorsed by the committee, by the state committee.
You're right, except for they kind of did that before Romney decided to run, though, so it can't be as tied to Romney as you make it. But yes,
okay.
That did happen.
Okay.
Right? In other words, it occurred. Romney took advantage of what just happened. Whether it was premeditated or not is hard to say because there's other people jumping through that hoop, too. But nevertheless, your point is well taken that that did occur.
Yeah.
I'm just not so sure that we could say they changed the law for Mitt, per se. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, at least in my opinion, that's one of the main reasons that Mitt decided to jump in the race.
I agree.
It was a done deal that he could get the signatures he wanted instead of having to have the what they call the Republican delegate vote for him. He lost that battle earlier this year, but was still anointed by the general electorate. That, you know, you have to be a Republican to even vote in that.
In other words, the point is if it would have been the old way that Utah used to do it, Romney would have been dead in the water.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right on the point. You just got to be very careful that we can't say that they changed it for Mitt because it's not exactly accurate.
Yeah.
Although it did happen, he did jump through it, and without that, he wouldn't be the nominee today. That's for sure. So the interesting twist about this is Tim Alders is the only one, as far as I can tell, at this stage of the game that actually has an opportunity to really kind of bring out who Mitt really is. And I don't think Mitt's our friend. So Tim did a radio commercial to talk about this very issue. Here it is.
No one can trust Mitt Romney. Is he the anti-gun, pro-choice, pro-amnesty liberal from Massachusetts? Or is he the so-called conservative who wants to impeach President Trump? Utah needs a third choice in November. Utah needs Tim Alders. Tim Alders is the only conservative Republican on the ballot this November. Small business owner, conservative activist, and real Republican. Finally, a conservative Republican who can beat Mitt Romney.
This is Tim Alders. As a conservative radio talk show host, I fought hard against liberal Democrats like Mitt Romney, the father of Obamacare. Now I'm running for U.S. Senate against him. Send someone to D.C. who will fight amnesty, lower taxes, and join President Trump against professional politicians so he can truly drain the swamp. My name is Tim Alders, and I approve my message of being the only conservative Republican running for U.S. Senator in Utah.
Paid for by Tim Alders for U.S. Senate. TimAlders.com.
Now, here's what's a little comical about that ad, Jim Clymer. Tim Alders is on the Constitution Party ticket,
yeah.
And Mitt Romney's on the Republican Party ticket. However, he's calling Mitt a Democrat, and he's saying he's a Republican. I find that a little bit comical, because that's what we've kind of associated these ideas with, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I was a little bit amused by that myself. He calls himself a conservative Republican several times in that ad. You know, I hope that doesn't confuse the electorate, though, when they go in to vote and they see that he's all of a sudden discover that he's on the Constitution Party ballot line.
And that Mitt is on the Republican line.
Right.
So it gets kind of strange, but the reason I bring it up is we do have a Republican or a republic form of government. And, you know, Republicans, here's the point that's kind of ironic if you really know history. Republicans used to be the third party, sir.
Well, of course, that's right. They got started as a third party. But let me ask you a question. In Utah, do the party labels appear on the ballot or just the names?
No, the labels do, right, Kurt?
Yeah, you're right. The labels do, yeah. Of course.
which I reject. They also have this thing where they try to tempt you into voting a straight party ticket.
Yeah,
and you got to kind of. It reminds me of this. You know, do you want to do the? Do you want to do the quick ballot or do you want to do the difficult ballot? I mean, they kind of make it like that, right, Kurt?
That's exactly right.
But they do that in a lot of states, including my home state of Pennsylvania. And they make it very easy to vote a straight party ticket, and they encourage that.
And I personally call it vote fraud if you literally try to encourage people to do the straight party ticket, because it intentionally takes the way thinking and promotes party over principle and party over person or character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but I find that ad a little interesting, Kurt. What do you think? Is it going to confuse the electorate a little bit?
Well, I don't. Most of them won't hear it simply because, you know, he's got a limited amount of money, and you know, the standard ones are going to be listening to their FM music or their sports broadcasts, and you know, he won't have the money to participate in that, I don't think.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem is, you know, I think vote fraud is when you push a straight party ticket. I think vote fraud happens when you make it all about cash. The media should have I shouldn't say be forced, because I'm not really, again, forcing the media to do anything. But we should have enough media to tell the tale to say, hey, you know what? I want everybody to hear from all the candidates. And I want everybody to be able to make their best choice based on who they feel would truly represent them were they to go to Congress themselves. Is that an outrageous idea?
That's a great idea. I think they should be held accountable to that standard. What kind of a campaign is Tim running? Does he have some money? Is he running able to mount a real campaign, a very visible campaign?
I think he's doing the best he can with limited resources. I think he's got a decent campaign. But again, when the mainstream press just literally blacks you out,
well,
it's very tough.
There's so much. I mean, that plays such a role where the media can give you thousands or even millions of dollars worth of free publicity by simply looking at you and commenting on you and interviewing you and doing all those things. And if you don't get that, which is so often the case with third parties or the Constitution Party candidates, it's, you know, you've got to spend that much more money just to get yourself heard.
That's exactly right. And what Tim says on his website is this: as a campaign, we are responding to the call of our federal or our fellow citizens to reduce the size, scope, and influence of the federal government. We will support President Trump and his efforts to drain the swamp. The swamp will never drain itself, and taking out a current member just to replace him/her with another establishment party member will not get it done. The time has come to retire the outdated ideas, attitudes, failed dogma, and aristocratic thinking of the old guard. New blood is needed based on the constitutional ideals of the founders. That man is Tim Alder, says the website. And this website's powered by you, he says. So I think he's doing the best he can. And what I do think, though, is we need ground troops and money.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get Kurt to make a dip into his fortune and help him out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
He's got my pledge to the people on there, and he wants to celebrate the Constitution for the United States of America.
That's great. That's the kind of candidate we need. And if I understood it, he's a radio talk show host as well. Is that right?
That's pretty much right. He says that I want to speak out and I want to debate and I want to talk, but Mitt Romney's strategy is to say nothing.
Yeah, he wants to ignore him. That's what they often
hang
do.
Tight.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
I'm Sam Bushman in the round table. Jim Clymer, well-known constitutional attorney, constitutionparty.com, and Kirk Cosby's with me as well. We're talking about Tim Alders for Senate against Orrin Hatch in Utah. And if you want to learn more, Tim Alders, that's A-A-L-D-E-R-S, timalders.com. And there's a headline that concerns me. I mentioned vote fraud with trying to get people to vote a single party ticket. Making it very, it's like the quick vote ballot, if you will. That's vote fraud. Continuing to put the names of the parties associated with the people, continues to promote partisan politics, literally changing the way voting happens in Utah so that Mitt Romney can get on the ballot in the first place is very strange. But it gets worse, Jim Clymer, and I want to pick your brain on this one. Headline from the Huffington Post and many others, Business Daily and et cetera, say this. Pro-Romney firm's purchase of voting machine company raises alarms. I guess folks that are very friendly that used to sit on Bain Capital with Romney literally moved to other companies, and then now they bought a voting machine company. It's the third largest voting company or voting machine producer in the country. And while Mitt Romney was a presidential candidate, now running for senator, it looks very strange. Now, others are doubling down going, wait a minute. You know, there's no way to hack these machines. There's no way this means anything at all. And others are saying not so fast. It doesn't pass the smell test. Your response?
Well, I think that's a great way to make sure you get elected. If you own, if you have an ownership interest in the voting machines, why, you can certainly figure out a way to rig them. I said that with my tongue in cheek, but I think it's I think it's a real problem. I think
the point is that anyone says
they can't be hacked is nuts. I mean, anything that's electronic can be hacked. That's
how come the Pentagon can get hacked, but the voting machines can't?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But furthermore, we're not saying there's a cause and effect just because these people friendly to Mitt Romney bought this voting machine company. We're not saying that guarantees fraud. What we're saying is that basically brings up a very serious question about, you know what, are these guys going to be honest with the voting machine? Will it help Mitt? Will it be? It might not be fraudulent for several years when it's under scrutiny, but later it turns into this. I don't find any good in it at all, and I think, really, I don't see the mainstream press bringing this up to Mitt hardly at all. The mainstream press is saying, well, this is a bunch of right-wing websites worried about this, but there's nothing here. Move along, move along, move along, Jim.
Well, you know, the American people need to be eternally vigilant when it comes to integrity in the voting process. And as I am personally a judge of elections in my precinct, and I can know firsthand how things can happen. You know, if you have people without integrity in there, and especially if you have only people of one party, as happens in, for example, in Philadelphia, and I'm sure a lot of other big cities where there's only one party represented among the polling officials, the election officials, it would be very easy to change the outcome of the vote. I mean, we had 97 precincts in the city of Philadelphia in 2016 that had no Republican votes. You know that there's something wrong. It can be happened. So there's, again, a couple points. First of all, it's imperative that the lawmakers and the courts ensure that the process is as clean as it can be and discourages the opportunity or to minimizes the opportunity to affect the outcome, to alter the outcome of an election. Secondly, I will want to highlight the importance of having people of integrity who are watching the chicken coop, if you will. And that they're not foxes, because you minimize the opportunity, first of all, by having a paper trail wherever. You have a paper trail, and when you rely totally on electronic voting, like I said, I guarantee you that somebody can hack that. Somebody can use that to affect the outcome. And that's just unacceptable. With a paper ballot or paper, at least a paper trail, that it can always be examined, it can always be confirmed, and makes it much more difficult for anybody to play hanky panky with the electoral system.
Kurt, do you want to respond here a little bit? I'm literally concerned vote fraud's right before our very eyes, sir, on so many different levels. You might not be able to point to each one as vote fraud in and of itself. You say, that's kind of getting close to the line, but okay, it's not illegal. But when you put four or five or six or whatever, 10 of these together, at some point, the real candidates don't stand a chance.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. We've seen, of course, Barack Obama told us there was no vote fraud in America. And, of course, then you've got audio of him saying, well, here in Chicago, we know how to count the votes and all that kind of stuff. And, the bottom line is we know vote fraud exists, and we know that, there are solutions to this. Just, that's what honest elections, paper ballots with a pencil and a piece of paper with honest individuals counting the votes, just like there's solutions for the money system. There's honest money and then there's dishonest money. And there's honest voting and there's dishonest voting.
You got that right. I got another interesting headline for you. It's a CNN headline, but I think it's very, very interesting how they manipulate this again. Here's the headline. They don't want to talk about Tim Alders at all, but CNN writes this. Mitt Romney is running for Senate as a friend and foe of Donald Trump. What the heck does that mean, Jim?
I wish I knew. As a friend and foe. Yeah.
So it's their way to promote Romney, leave Tim out, attack Trump, promote Romney, but kind of give Romney the benefit of Trump because Trump endorsed Romney. And so it's this weird world of manipulated politics where they're like, ignore Tim, promote Romney, trash Trump, but make sure that if there's any benefit of being tied to Trump, get the wind under your sails for it. All in one wordsmithed headline, sir, by CNN of all people.
Yeah, well.
It is a new McCain.
Say again, Kurt?
They want a new McCain, and that's what they hope Romney will be as well.
I think Kurt's spot on, Jim.
Exactly. That's right. It's a way of keeping both keeping your foot in both camps.
I can't decide if they want a McCain or an Orrin Hatch or just a blend of the two, though.
But of course, you know, I'm sure CNN likes Romney. You know, that's the kind of Republicans that they would like. So they're going to try to help him whenever they can.
But I just find the headline so strange. They just don't know. I mean, they're getting hit by traffic going both directions when it comes to principle above party or above politics in this case, where it's like, what are you talking about? He's running for Senate as a friend and foe of Donald Trump. Okay. I don't even understand what that means. All I know is it basically promotes Romney by the very headline, by the very mention of his name, and it does its best to garner all the support from anybody who believes that Trump endorsing Romney matters, but yet at the same time, it's a way to try to slap Trump in the face kind of thing.
I'm assuming there's a Democrat in this race also?
I think there is, Kurt. Do you even know who it is?
I think her name is Debbie Allen, if I remember right, something like that. But, you know, she's basically a non-player, as most Democrats are in the state of Utah.
Yeah. She'll probably get more coverage than Alders, though, huh?
Yeah, that's true. She'll get that, of course. But... you know, Mitt Romney will, if he sneezes, he'll get the front page of the newspaper.
I think, is it Democrat Jenny Wilson?
I think that's right.
All right, I think it's Jenny Wilson running. She says she would have preferred to run against Orrin Hatch than Mitt Romney. That's because they're going to have to admit the truth on Hatch's record. Mitt can kind of run clean a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, obviously... Mitt's got a big name, and he's going to get a lot of votes just because of his name.
Right. So very interesting, to say the least. They say that Mitt Romney will win the seat by a big margin, says the mainstream press. How do they know that? Is that another way they commit vote fraud? Are they suggesting their opinion? Or are they leading the witness? Just kind of wondering. Jim Clymer, our guest, ConstitutionParty.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
You actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Strange triangle of politics, ladies and gentlemen. You got Mitt Romney taking all the air out of the room. You got Tim Alders doing a great job to the best of his ability with limited resources, but honest as the day is long. You got Jenny Wilson, the Democrat in the race. She says she'd rather go against Orrin Hatch than Mitt Romney. You say, who the heck is Jenny Wilson? Well, she's a Democrat trying to take Orrin Hatch's seat on the Senate, and she is the daughter of Ted Wilson, who is a former mayor of Salt Lake City. And I guess she sits on for her second term, the Salt Lake City Council. And she's a leadership, public relations, and media consultant. And I guess it's her second term on the Salt Lake County Council. I guess not the city, the Salt Lake County Council. And she promotes LGBT, whatever, and very strange. She's been involved at the Sundance Film Festival. And she's a graduate of University of Utah. I guess she went to Harvard. And she was raised in Salt Lake City, one of five children. She's the daughter of Ted Wilson. 1976 to 85, her dad, Ted, was the mayor of Salt Lake City. Kathy Wilson, an artist and small business owner, is her mother. She was baptized, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I guess she received a master's of public administration from the John F. Kennedy School of Government. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff about her here, but now she's running for Senate. I don't think they're going to have a three-way real debate in this thing. It's going to be the female extremist against the, quote, Mitt Romney conservative. And then they're going to literally sideline Tim Alders, the real constitutionalist, in the mix, Jim.
Yeah, well, it sounds like... Jenny and Mitt are, dare I say, discredits to their church. I'm a little surprised to hear that she, as openly and blatantly as she subscribes to the leftist line of the Democratic Party, she seems to embrace it fully. While Mitt Romney only embraces it partially.
Tim Alders doesn't embrace it at all.
Yeah. Well.
All right, that's the sad tale to tell. All right, Kurt, you're running for office too, right? We got to mention this. Jim Clymer, you need to know Kurt Crosby's running for office, aren't you, Kurt?
Well, you know, I typically do that anytime there's a campaign. But, as a candidate for office in the... state legislature, but you know, the bottom line is,
what are you running for? House?
Yeah, the House. It's the cheapest one you can sign up for, you know.
What ticket are you running on?
Well, this time, you know, I've run as a Republican, a Democrat, Constitution Party guy several times, and right now it's as the Independent American Party candidate. But, you know, I wish I could just basically say, hey, I'm an American. But, you know, that's not a possibility unless you want to get about, I don't know, how many thousand signatures, you know.
Yeah. How many are in the race?
Oh, I think there's, you know, the standard 3 or so, you know.
All right, so the headlines are going to be Kirk Crosby runs for state house, right?
Okay, Sam.
Yeah, got to highlight that and promote it. You know, I hope Kurt wins.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the constitutionalists, their campaigns are so stealth, it's hard for me to even know they're running sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is there an incumbent that you're running against?
No, in this case, the guy that we're running to replace is the guy that decided to retire and take on Mitt Romney from the Republican Party. His name is Mike Kennedy. So you had a Kennedy-Romney race earlier, you know.
And so the point is, now that Mike's retired, he's out of everything.
Yeah, that's right. He's, you know, he's a doctor and he'd be a good, he's a good family man and all that kind of stuff. We supported him in the past and, you know, even though he was a Republican, but, you know, the Republican establishment wants Mitt Romney.
Yeah, we got to forgive him for something. But anyway, Mike is a good guy, but the point is he's not going to be there anymore. And he did a good job when he was there and stuff like that. Anyway, Kirk Crosby runs for state house, folks. You ought to know that. And I want to kind of talk about this a little bit when it comes to this partisan politics and these battles and the Constitution Party. And, you know, the Constitution Party is by far the closest to what I believe in. You know, the Independent American Party does a great job, too, in many cases. But I favor the Constitution Party just because I believe they have a little bit bigger of a footprint. And they've been around for a long time. And they're very, very Christian. And their belief systems and stuff like that. I really enjoy and appreciate that. I think that's the kind of the key to the exercise. I agree with Kurt that I'm not really a party man. But at the same time, at some point, you got to play the game to have a seat at the table. They've manipulated it to be that way. And if there's in my personal opinion, the Pierce Party out there would be the Constitution Party. But there's Mark Wahlberg in the news, Kurt. And I know this sounds like I'm totally leaving the topic, but I'm really not. I'm going to return to it in just a second. Mark Wahlberg is in the news. And I guess he's got a grueling daily regime, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, no, I don't. I want to know if Jim knows who Mark Wahlberg is. Are you familiar with the guy?
I'm trying to place him. I
have no clue who the guy is,
name,
Jim.
But I can't.
Okay, he's a movie star, famous movie star kind of guy. The only reason I knew is I was reading the story, and the headline reads something like Mark Wahlberg does 30 minutes of prayer, and I'm kind of thinking, wait a minute, a movie star that prays? This is kind of an unusual situation.
So they say he starts his grueling 30-minute, they call it a regime, it begins with a 30-minute prayer.
Huh. Okay.
And I bring all that up because I think that's the pattern we all need to follow. We started this broadcast 2 hours ago with Ted Cruz being chased out of a Washington, D.C. restaurant by the Me Too movement and such like that. And then we talked about we need to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his family. There's this guy who thought about jumping into the ocean, but he literally prayed and read his Bible, and he survived 49 days on a boat, and his life was saved. And so I think that prayer, we cannot underestimate the power of prayer. And if we're going to make any difference via the Constitution Party or any other way, it's going to start and end with prayer, Jim.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think sometimes I think we get caught up in the politics of things and we forget that the spiritual, the moral fabric of this nation is transcends politics and is more important than I say sometimes that all the political activity in the world is not going to save this country by itself. And there's got to be a moral and spiritual reawakening in order for the politics, the political aspect of it to work.
I'm praying we have more rain in Utah and less rain in Carolina.
Yeah.
All the Lord needs to do is ship that, what, a couple of, what would it be, 1,900 miles west or something?
Well, we can send some that we're having here in Pennsylvania, too. We've got like 40 inches of rain here in the last 6 weeks.
And we've got fires galore, and we need rain to put them out, sir.
So I'd be happy to send some of it your way.
Well, we're praying that happens, and that's kind of the interesting thing about you know, Kurt always brings this up, is that, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen in the elections, but I'm sure going to do all I can, and then I'm going to trust in the Almighty, and if we pray to him, and if we rely on him, and if we turn to him, and you know what, good things can happen, shocking positive results can occur, and we got to always keep that hope alive. We always have to keep that you know, real faith alive, no matter how difficult things seem with vote fraud machines and these super candidates that have a gazillion dollars and we have nothing, and it seems like we're on the ropes all the time, and many times we lose. But you know what? Two things happen. There's a great education that comes along with third-party candidates, literally telling the tale of liberty and the Constitution. Ron Paul would be the best example. He sat on the campaign stage, and audit the Fed has been one of the greatest concepts on the table every year since. He also talked about abolishing governmental departments, cabinet-level departments, and literally other candidates thought it was such a good idea, they borrowed his term. He mocks them because they couldn't even remember the cabinets they wanted to abolish. But nevertheless, he changed the game in terms of education, in terms of what topics make it to the debates and to the discussions and become household discussions and things. And so we run for office for two reasons. One, to get elected, but two, to make sure this educational campaign never loses the opportunity to be had and to understand. And so I think Tim is playing a vital role in doing that. I think Kurt's playing a vital role in doing that. And we want to never lose sight of that. And that's kind of why I end with this story on prayers. What an example this guy is. Mark Wahlberg, you know, 30-minute prayer to begin every day. Hey, we need prayer and scripture reading to start out every day, folks. That's one of the big keys, in my opinion, to national survival. Kurt, then Jim.
Well, yeah, and Mark, of course, he's also a big body, you know, weight guy and eating the right things and all those things, which is vital. But I thought it was so cool to see some Hollywood type that recognizes that prayer is important.
All right, Jim, the final word this hour is yours.
Well, that's great. No, I couldn't emphasize any more strongly that than what you've already said. I couldn't agree any more that that so often we tend as human beings to think that we have things under control and that we elevate ourselves to greatness and thinking that we are in control of things. And we've got to be reminded sometimes, perhaps it's through severe storms, perhaps it's through the 40 inches of rain that we've got in the last 6 weeks here in Pennsylvania, or whatever it may be, that we're not really in control. We've got to plead with the Almighty, and the importance of prayer, I don't think, can be overemphasized, and I, especially in these perilous times that we're involved in right now. And look at the whole Kavanaugh situation. There are times that we just have to stop and say, okay, God, we recognize that you're in control, and we want you to, you know, to say, we're going to let you take charge here and work things out for what's right. And just, you know, put ourselves in our proper place, I guess, and rely on prayer to accomplish what needs to be done.
Now, I completely agree with the point, but we need to make sure that we don't decide to just simply dismiss politics and say, God's got it. You know, Jesus Christ is coming and he'll win and it's all good and there's nothing for us to do. Even though we need to rely on God by all means and trust in the arm of God, not in the man, trust in the arm of flesh. Nevertheless, we need to basically get on our knees and pray to God sincerely. We need to repent in our lives and learn to forgive others. And then we need to get up and go to work and do our best. And God works with those who put their efforts in their hearts. In other words, your faith is made whole by your works, if you will, Jim.
Well, absolutely. And there's a phrase that I've heard already that I really agree with. You pray like everything depends on God, then work like everything depends on you.
We got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. I highly recommend the Constitution Party to you, constitutionparty.com. Jim Clymer, my friend, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir.
It's likewise a pleasure here. Thank you for having me on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there he goes. A brilliant mind. ConstitutionParty.com. We all agree that, you know what, it shouldn't be about party. But principle above party is key. And sadly, today, if you want a seat at the table, you got to be part of something, or they won't even let you hardly vote these days. ConstitutionParty.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.